The Art of Living, Elder Eldred G. Smith, Eldred G. Smith, Conference Report, October 1951, pages 79-82. It is truly a privilege and honor to be here and partake of the spirit and influence of this occasion. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be with me while I occupy this time. I want to acknowledge my gratitude for the prayer that was offered in my behalf and in behalf of the other patriarchs at the opening of this conference. I rejoice in the spirit of this conference and in the influence that radiates from such gatherings. I appreciate the privilege of being in the presence of the general authorities and such a multitude of the priesthood and saints. Truly, this is a happy people, and why shouldn't we be happy? We possess the greatest knowledge given to men, the knowledge of the gospel. Then the greatest happiness comes from our efforts to give it to others. Henry Thoreau wrote, "It is something to be able to paint a particular picture, or to carve a statue and to so make a few objects beautiful, but it is far more glorious to carve and paint the very atmosphere and medium through which we look, to affect the quality of the day. That is the highest of arts, the art of living." Thoreau is trying to remind us that great art is not restricted to painting, music, sculpture, and writing. There is an art to living, too. Who of all people are better prepared to affect the quality of the day for others than are the members of the Church of Jesus Christ? The art of living should be at its best among the Latter-day Saints. One must first have his own house in order. He must first live the gospel himself. Then he can affect the quality of the day for others. What can bring greater joy to man than a knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ? To know that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To know the plan of salvation, and to know that he has an opportunity to follow that plan and receive salvation, yes, even exaltation. Then take that knowledge and give it to others. Paint the atmosphere and medium through which they look. It thrills me to see the faces of converts to the church fill with joy when they tell me their experiences through which they joined the church, to see the reverence paid to those missionaries who brought them the gospel, how they, too, know that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ, and that his gospel has been restored to the earth. Those missionaries were the greatest artists. Such art is not confined to the ordained missionaries. Every member of the church can so live as to change the atmosphere around him for the benefit of others. Teach the principles of the gospel through your very deeds, acts of kindness. Be sincere in your religion and live it strictly, that through your deeds others shall follow, said the Savior. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Christ was speaking to his disciples in that greatest of all sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, when he gave this commandment. It was to those same disciples that Jesus had explained the gospel plan in all its fullness. They had listened to him, talked to him, come under the influence of his divine personality. They had witnessed the miracles he had performed. So because of their greater knowledge and their great privileges, theirs was the responsibility to let their light so shine before men that others might see their good works and glorify their Father, which is in heaven, exemplars of righteousness. Today, my brothers and sisters, that command is directed to us. We have received a light and knowledge that was given to the disciples of old. It is our responsibility to let our light so shine until it really reaches the ends of the earth. If each individual member of this entire church would sincerely strive to do his or her best, just think what might be accomplished. We can spread gloom around us, we can spread good cheer, or we can be such an example of righteousness that others will want to follow the pattern of our lives. A chain reaction goes on that is endless in its effects. When a knowledge of the divinity of the gospel is given to you, you can pass it on to others. If you are living the gospel, they will hear your testimony. Remember the saying, "How can I hear what you are saying, when what you are is ringing so loudly in my ears?" Power in testimonies. Live the gospel first, then teach it to others. Declare your testimony to others on every occasion. There is a power in bearing your testimony. I remember an occasion in the mission field in Germany, when I had been tracting. I was getting a bit discouraged, having met nothing but passive attention. After climbing some stairs, I knocked on a door, and a large man opened it and with a very gruff attitude greeted me. I gave him my brief message, as we did in those days in presenting a tract at the door. He turned and picked up a handful of leaflets off the table near the door and shook them in my face and declared to me that I was the fifth person who had been to his door that day with just such leaflets. He was a large man and very rough in his approach. I expected any moment that I might be thrown down the stairs, but he declared that none of us knew that we had the gospel. He said, "You all say that it is true. This is the way. You all say that. None of you know." I met the challenge. And I stood straight before him and looked him square in the eyes, and I bore my testimony to him that I knew that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the only method by which he could gain salvation. And I went on at some length bearing my testimony to this man. Afterward I was surprised at the fluency of my speech because I had not been in Germany very long. I did not understand the language very well, but when I had finished, he had changed his tone entirely and very humbly begged my pardon and promised to read the tract, which I am sure he did. I am sure that as we bear our testimonies and our sacrament meetings, that same effect goes out to others and assists others in strengthening their testimonies. And as we have heard testimonies here in this conference, they are a strengthening power to all of us. It was the strengthening power of their testimonies of the divinity of the gospel that was the motivating power to the pioneers in their trek across the plains. It gave them the courage to face the hardships and trials of that long journey. A testimony is more than a mathematical calculation. It is more than the result of a given experience. As a young man enumerated a number of experiences in the process of his conversion, after each experience he said, "That was not what converted me," again, "and that was not what converted me." It was the accumulation of many experiences with sincerity and prayer which put him in tune to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, and so it is with me and all others who have a testimony. The Spirit testifies from within, the Spirit within. Yes, I have had many experiences in the mission field and at home of healings, the blind made to see, the evil spirits rebuked, but the testimony of the divinity of the gospel comes not alone from these experiences but from the Spirit within, which testifies of God and that He lives, that Jesus is the Christ, and that He has established His gospel in the earth, with the full power of the priesthood through which all the ordinances unto salvation and exaltation may be performed. That knowledge burns within me, and even though Satan has tried to take it from me, he has not succeeded and never shall, for I know this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power unto salvation, the light and life of the world. I know that President David O. McKay has been chosen of God to lead His people in this day. I sustain him and his counselors and all the other general authorities, and I pray God's blessings upon them. May the Lord bless each of us with a burning testimony of the divinity of this gospel, and may the Lord help us to extend it to others that they too may receive the joy and blessings of the gospel, that the earth may speedily be prepared for His coming. May we all carry with us from this conference a renewed determination to go forth proclaiming His gospel in deed and in precept is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.